I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful to meet in His name. And we thank the Lord that we can do that. We'll be sharing from 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's turn there. Second Kings chapter 5, just verse 9 and 10, and then picking up from verse 15. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." And then after the wonderful healing, we pick up the story from verse 15. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth, for from now on your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord. In this matter may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter." He said to him, "Go in peace." But when Naaman had gone from him a short distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, "See, my master has spared this Naaman the Syrian, in not accepting from his hand what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi followed Naaman. And when Naaman saw someone running after him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me to say, there have just now come to me from the hill country of Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of clothing." And Naaman said, be pleased to accept 2 talents. And he urged him and tied up 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothing and laid them on 2 of his servants. And they carried them before Gehazi. Maybe just to keep in mind that a talent is quite a lot. There are different ways of measuring it or different historical records, but it tends to be a bit more than 40 kilograms. So each servant was carrying a big bag of silver for him. Verse 24, "And when he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and put them in the house. And he sent the men away, and they departed. He went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said to him, 'Where have you been, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant went nowhere.' But he said to him, 'Did not my heart go when the man of God turned from his chariot to, when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garments, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male servants and female servants? Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever.' So he went out from his presence a leper." like snow. Yes, we read this account of Gehazi, the servant of Elijah. And we're not going to focus on Naaman this morning. We're going to focus on Gehazi. And his fatal mistake. We could say there's an enemy in South Africa, all over the world, and he creeps into many hearts, and you turn on the radio and you listen to the news and you hear that he's in other hearts as well. It's an enemy all over. And I can't call myself blameless. When I was a little child, I don't know how old I was, but it was probably 4 years old, 5 years old, somewhere around there, staying in Swakopmund, there in Namibia. And I was in the kitchen, and my mother was there, and she was baking and cooking and doing things in the kitchen, cleaning. And then she looked around, and she couldn't see me. And she looked everywhere, and she went outside, and she went into the different rooms looking and calling, "Jacques, Jacques, where are you?" And there was no reply. And she started getting worried, starting to panic. She looked carefully, looked everywhere, opened doors, closed doors, walked around this way, that way. And she was just about to phone the police and to get help to find where I am. And then somehow she opened a cupboard door in the kitchen. And there was her little son with a bowl of cookies, chocolate biscuits, not wanting to be disturbed, and eating away. Well, there's something that some people suffer from more than others. Covetousness. And there I had it, and I didn't shake it off quickly. I think I hear other stories, even before I, you know, grew up, of things that I did. Greedy. Wanting more than what I needed. Desiring more. Maybe a little bit like Gehazi. Why are you running, Gehazi? Is somebody chasing you? That man, he's got silver. He's got much. I want to get some. So Gehazi is running. Not walking, he's running. Because he wants to get some. His eyes are there. I want to get a little bit more of that. He not only has a lot of silver, but he's even willing to part with it. He said to my master, "Here it is." So Gehazi is running to try and get some of that silver and the things that he has brought, Naaman has brought. It's called by different names: greed, covetousness. You could say just discontentment. It's breaking one of the commandments. Which one? First, second, third? The tenth? Breaking the tenth commandment. In a sense, it's a love of self. Not that Gehazi gained anything by it. But it's a love of self. It's a love of temporal things rather than eternal things. It's focusing on this world and things of now. Focusing more on the stomach than on that which is eternal and that which is really valuable. The things we were singing about now were eternal things. Forgiveness. Other blessings like the Lord's presence. Of all people in this world, true Christians should be so content, grateful, unlike Gehazi. Gehazi made a terrible, terrible mistake. The Bible has many examples of covetousness or greed. We don't need to struggle to find them. The first obvious one is Eve. You remember Eve's covetousness. She looked, and it was pleasant to her eyes. That which she saw looked good, and she wanted it for herself. Not because God wanted her to have it, but because she wanted it. So she took it, and she ate. Covetous. What about Achan? Achan. You remember him? There where they went to Jericho, and he was one of the soldiers. They went in, and they were told, don't take anything from Jericho. It's not for you. You go there and you destroy the city as you are commanded to do and come out again. But he saw some things that he liked. And he took them and hid them away because he knew he was doing the wrong thing. But he wanted, and he was punished for it. Nabal. You remember Nabal? His wife's name? Abigail. Yeah. She was a better character than what he was. Very greedy. He was stingy. He didn't want, even when he saw needs around him, he ignored them. He wanted as much as he could, and he enjoyed it. Gehazi, of course, we've just read about. Judas. He used to help himself, the Bible says, to that which was there. Of course, there was enough for their needs to be met, but Judas wanted some more. The rich young ruler, he loved his things, and even though he also wanted forgiveness, he also wanted salvation, but his heart was more with his riches than with God and with the Lord. So he made a decision right there in his heart. My things, they are more important to me. I want them and I want to keep them. I'm not going to get rid of them. The rich fool. Remember him in, I think it's Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 12. But this rich fool, he had lots and lots of things. And he just wanted to enjoy them. And so he said he's going to build bigger barns and store his crops there. And God said, you are a fool. Nobody else called him a fool. God called him a fool. Why? Because he was covetous. Demas. Not much in the Bible is said about Demas. But maybe you remember the name Demas and what the Bible says about him. It says he loved this present world. I wonder where your heart is today. Whether maybe there's some covetousness in your heart which you need to be cleansed from. It's not fitting for a Christian. It's not fitting for a child of God, for a follower of Jesus, to carry these things. To have that kind of attitude and that kind of heart which runs like Gehazi for the things of this world. It involves the heart and the eyes. I think if you look at Gehazi, you see his heart wanted and his eyes saw. And the heart and the eyes, I think, are connected. Mark 7, verse 21. Verse 21 and 22. In Jesus' teaching, we read these words. Mark 7, 21 and 22. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft. Already you see an indication of it in the word theft. Murder, adultery, coveting, there it is. Wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy. Also a form of coveting. Slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Well, we look around and we see plenty of it, and it's not the way we must go. We must resist very strongly. Another passage from the Old Testament really comes out strongly from Proverbs 30, verse 15. Proverbs 30, verse 15, it says, "The leech has two daughters, give and give." In fact, that whole passage is about covetousness. It says, "Three things are never satisfied. Four never say enough. Sheol, the barren womb, the land never satisfied with water. The fire that never says enough." Like a fire burning, wanting more and more. Covetousness is never satisfied. It always wants more and more. And we find it in Gehazi, we find it in others, in Achan. They wanted, and their heart and their eyes say, that must be mine. I want it for myself. By the way, a leech. Do you know what a leech is? I don't think we have leeches in South Africa. Maybe not. The equivalent we would have in South Africa, maybe a tick, even a mosquito. But it's a leech is a maggot-like thing which sucks blood. And you get it in the tropics, you get it in the dense forests especially. And doctors used to use them. In fact, the doctor used to be called a leech. Because he would use these little worm things to clean a wound. If somebody's got a wound which is septic, which is going infected and septic, then they would put these leeches on the wound and cover it. And they would take everything that is bad, they would just take in. And after a few days, maybe, then that cover could be taken off, and what is left, once the leeches are removed, is a very clean wound, and the doctor can the healing can come because the dirt has gone out. So a doctor used to be called a leech, in some areas. Because of that, we've got different methods today. Covetousness always wants more. That's what the Bible says. It never says enough. One more. Just a little bit more. And this is a danger not just of rich people. Maybe you sit here and you say, well, I'm a poor person. Don't call me covetous, or don't think I'm covetous, but poor people and rich people can be drawn in by this danger. Apparently a very, very rich man in the States, John D. Rockefeller, he was asked, how much is enough? Because people noticed that he pursued riches, and he was so rich, he could buy anything. He could even buy countries. You know, he was incredibly rich. It boggles our minds. Well, what did he answer? He went, just a bit more. Just a bit more. Yeah, he's almost there. The truth is, he's not almost there. Because when he would get there, a little bit more would be just another step beyond. And one is never enough. It's actually good to think about it and to realize that the Bible tells us, it warns us, in Proverbs and other places, it warns us, it says we will never have enough if we are covetous. The person who is covetous, when he gets that bit more, he wants a bit more. And it'll keep running away from him. He will never be satisfied. But the one who is content because of what the Spirit of God is doing in the heart, that one is satisfied, is content, and joy is right there. Gehazi had enough to meet his needs. And if there was too much need, I'm sure his master Elijah would have prayed and asked the Lord to provide, and the Lord would have provided in some wonderful way. But he wanted more. And so he ran. So greed is never satisfied. I want a better job. I want a better cell phone. I want a better vehicle, or I want a better house, or I want a better this or that, a better clothes. I want something better. Sometimes it's okay to want something better. But the end result must be, I want this so that I can serve the Lord more freely. So that the Lord might be honored. Unfortunately, it doesn't usually end there. It's usually, I want it for me because I like it. And that's why the Bible warns so much about it. One of the words which the covetous person often uses is, if only. He looks around and he says, wouldn't it be great if... Watch out. These are danger signs when your eyes look at what your neighbor has got, what your friend has got, what somebody else has got. Covetousness, yes, it's in the heart and in the eyes. Covetousness always wants more. Another thing about covetousness, it always leads to other sin. It always leads to other sin. It never stops there at covetousness. What about Gehazi? Can you just think of that passage we read? What other sins came out because Gehazi was covetous? Anyone want to shout it out? Lies. Sure. Yes, we read about the lies. Verse 22 of the passage, it says, let me find it quickly. And he said, all is well, my master has sent me. Yes. My master has sent me. Did his master send him? A little while later, his master said, where have you been? He didn't send him. And he says, they have just now come to me from the hill country of Ephraim, two young men. Really? Those young men were not there at all. And then, of course, as he stood before his master, where have you been, Gehazi? Your servant has been nowhere. The lies came out. And I think it always works that way. Covetousness leads to other sin. In the case of Achan, it led to taking what did not belong to him, what he was not allowed to take. Eve, it led to disobeying that command and taking that which the Lord had forbidden. When I was serving in the Dorothea mission, we had somebody who came to our house sometimes, usually on a Friday, a domestic helper. And we noticed some things were disappearing from our house. And next time she came, we noticed she came with a big bag. It wasn't very bulky, but it was a big bag. But before she was going to leave in the afternoon, it was quite full. And so we said, sit down. And I came. Vaini was there. And please open your bag and let's see what's inside, please. And there, peanut butter and cake and rusks and toilet paper. And amazing, all the things that came out of that bag that was there. Even from the pantry where we were keeping things for the a mission event, which was going to come in a little while. So, yes, greed. Yes, she was going to be paid. She was paid. But that wasn't enough because she wanted something else. There are many examples of greed. We see it. We see it in the Bible, and every time we read about it, we should hate it. We should look at it and say, I don't want that. It's ugly. It's something that is so unlike the Lord. Another thing about covetousness is that it sometimes hides behind a very good smile and pleasant face. And yet on the inside it's there. I don't think I must say much about it, but in Matthew 23, Jesus spoke about the Pharisees, saying that on the outside of the cup it looks all clean, but inside it's dirty. He says you're like whitewashed tombs. And greed can be like that. On the outside everything can look very, very pleasant, and you can be at a theological college or in a church and everything looks fine. And yet covetousness is written all over you, and the Lord sees it. Another thing about it is it dishonors the Lord. It dishonors the Lord very much. The Lord is honored by gratitude. The Lord is honored by praises, by our being, our delighting in Him. Finding pleasure in the Lord and in what He gives. And if we are complaining and looking for more and dissatisfied, what does that say about our Master? Doesn't it say your Master or my Master is unkind, he's harsh, he's not worth following? And isn't that a completely mistaken idea? Because what He gives is precious, and He gives enough. So it definitely dishonors the Lord very much. Another thing about it is it always leads to disappointment and to death. Covetousness leads to disappointment, disillusionment, and death. Remember what we said about a person never being satisfied? Well, you never get satisfied. And you never find the joy that you're looking for. It won't be there. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10 is a verse we also will quickly look at. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. There it is, black and white. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, regardless of his salary. Nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. emptiness. It leads to disappointment. Covetous leads to disappointment. What happened to Eve? What was the end result of Eve's covetousness? Was she blessed? No. What was the end of Achan? Did he enjoy spending the gold and wearing the clothes? What about Gehazi? He ended up with leprosy. That was just an outward sign. The Lord was just pointing out something. It's the Old Testament, often we get the pictures which help us. But the final judgment is coming for the covetous. I think everyone has experienced this. You look at some tasty treats on the table in front of you, and you are invited to eat. And your eyes and your heart want so much, and your tongue and your taste buds, they want so much. But once you've eaten, just a little while later, you feel a stomach ache. What is that? Just a reminder that you should take what is needed and be satisfied. If there's honey, take enough. Don't take more. The outcome is bad. The outcome of Judas, what a wretched end. There's a picture, somebody, a doctor, Paul Brand, described cancer as greedy, the cancer cell. Now, of course, many, many, many people suffer from cancer, a terrible, terrible sickness. But the way he described it, he says that some cells in your body that are very covetous, very greedy, they grow. And when nutrients come close, they grab those nutrients and the cells multiply and there's hardly anything left for the cells that are nearby. And that's the whole principle of it. And because it multiplies, chemotherapy and some of these other treatments are very effective because they go to the greediest cells that they can find. And those are the cells that it attacks. But what a picture of something terrible. It looks healthy, it's multiplying, it's growing at the expense of health, of the body itself. It cries out like the leech, like the leech's daughters. Give, give, give me, I want, more for me, more for me. That's what it does. And I want to end with another illustration. You might be surprised. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's the illustration because he is the exact opposite of greed. Just consider his life. He came into this world to give. Everything he did was to serve, not to be served. To give to others and to love, not to take. When he saw people around him, he wanted to enrich them. That is what he was there for. That is what he was here for. And what has he done for you? Jesus Christ, the absolute opposite of covetousness. He gave himself for us. We read more than once in the Bible. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus, he laid down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:16, what is love? Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. So as we just close on this matter of covetousness, there is forgiveness for covetousness. There is forgiveness, but it is a picture, it's a sign of the unconverted heart. Turn away from it. Look to Jesus. He's not only our example, he's also our solution. He's our forgiveness. And we should find our treasure and our pleasure in him. Beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. Look to Jesus. Turn from the sin. Find your cleansing and find your pleasure and find your gratitude and find your joy in what he gives you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for your word and for the warnings we find in Scripture. And Lord, every time we hear about greed and covetousness, help us, Lord, to hate it even more. And to hate it especially when it comes into our own hearts and lives. We pray, Lord, that you would put your finger on covetousness wherever it is hiding. That we would see it, turn from it, run away from it. And look to your Son, Jesus. And yes, Lord, we thank you for the treasures he gives. And we thank you for Jesus himself. How blessed we are who know him. And we pray in his name. Amen.